for Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Man in Line.
Pastor May, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Text, email, call, WhatsApp, whatever you want to do to get in touch. We're open line today through till 1 tomorrow. The Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, will be on Man in Line with her Chief Exec, Dan Davies. If you want to talk about justice, home affairs, the essential services and anything to do with it, and by all means, you can get in touch in the meantime by emailing maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631. Or you can take your chances tomorrow with the phones and the texts and the emails. Due to the adverse weather conditions, the mail plane was unable to land this morning. Subsequently, there's no mail leaving the Isle of Man tonight. Oh, crikey. Please note that the guaranteed services special delivery and parcel force 24 is temporarily suspended. The Isle of Man post office says they're very sorry for this, for any inconvenience caused. So that's disruption to postal services today. The mail plane didn't land and will not leave tonight as well. Right. Many of the UK budget measures are already being addressed here, says the Treasury Minister. Lots of the tax rises, deferred tax rises like alcohol duty and tobacco products and what have you. The Isle of Man's also applying the 5p cut in fuel duty for another 12 months. And reflecting on the budget in the UK, Dr. Allinson pointed to the approval by Tim Wald of a 3-year childcare strategy committed to increasing access and affordability of childcare for all parents. And if you're a parent who has a child and currently paying for childcare, I just wonder how this is going to impact your life. The UK free, what they're saying in the UK is there's going to be free childcare for working parents in England. And this is not the Isle of Man, but England. So free childcare for working parents will be expanded to children aged 9 months and above from September 2025. So it's a couple of years down the line. What the UK Chancellor is trying to do is to get more parents back into work. In the UK, that move could allow 60,000 more parents of young children to get into work. Small fraction of the number of people who are out of work there, but that's by the by. The new care for parents in England will be introduced in stages. There'll be working parents of two-year-olds get 15 hours of free care from April next year, and children from 9 months will get 15 hours of free childcare from September 2024. All eligible under fives will get 30 hours of free childcare from September 2025. Well, it's a well-known fact that childcare costs a fortune, and it's not something that most parents work out before a child is born. Or maybe some people do. Maybe it enters some people's calculations as to whether a child is actually affordable. But if you're in that position whereby you are having to work to pay for childcare and not making much out of it, then I'd like to hear from you. I just want you to tell us really what you think the Manx government should be doing. Let's get to some Manx solutions for Manx problems. What exactly should happen, do you think? And what would you like the government to do? As Dr. Allinson says, they are committed to this childcare strategy. But that's down the line. What about now? Got a note in. This is from Glenn, who just says the airport is living up to its reputation as a laughingstock today. Delayed 40 minutes departing Birmingham due to Operation Low Visibility. At every other airport in the world, multiple aircraft movements can be accommodated, but at Ronald's Way, apparently they can only handle one aircraft at a time. This means that if an aircraft is fully boarded and ready to depart, it has to remain on the stand until an aircraft that's making an approach has landed and taxied to its stand. The 740 EasyJet from Liverpool is expected at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Word on the Birmingham half past one. We've not quite. It's saying it's on time at the moment, but as soon as we know, we'll tell you. And still, the possibility of flight disruptions due to very low visibility is what is happening. The EasyJet, the 10-10 EasyJet to Gatwick, left 20 minutes late. So we still have those continuing problems at the airport, and this is why, I don't know whether you know about this plan. The Department of Infrastructure has got a report called Al Amin Airport Function, Future and Form. Now, this report is looking at the need to strike a balance between the airport's role as a critical lifeline to the island and making the most of commercial opportunities. Now, there is an option in this report for the DOI to relinquish responsibility for Ronald's Way Airport and hand it over to a statutory board or a limited company. I'm not saying we wouldn't own it anymore, but it could be handed over from the DOI to a statutory board or a limited company. One of the options being floated in this new report in the future of Ronald's Way to be placed before Tynwald at its sitting next month. Well, I just wonder what you think of this. Is this how we should be handling it? Do you think the time has come for somebody else to have a bash at running the airport? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Julian's on first today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, it's funny how transport in general seems to be affected at the moment, whether it be pushing us into electric cars with massively less range, or the airport not running properly, or the buses having issues, or whatever.
Or the new boat not having a gearbox.
Well, exactly. Well, that's why they're going to stop young people in under 125 motorbikes in 2030 from even being able to learn how to ride a bike. So they'll only be able to use electric, obviously. Yesterday, Nick called into your show, I remember, asking about the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank.
Yes.
Interestingly, both of those banks were very friendly to cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Signature Bank was also one of the largest lenders to New York apartment owners. So perhaps you'll own nothing and be happy, maybe. I don't know. Well, we'll see. But perhaps it's best to have a stand back a bit and look at the bigger picture. The World Economic Forum, back at when they were in Davos this year, were very big talking about implementing digital currencies across the world. Now, if you want to implement a digital currency that's run by a centralized government, you can't have uncontrolled, decentralized cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or cash. I noticed recently that the UK government has advertised for a head of digital currency position, which is, if anybody's interested, reference number 263804. And at the same time, the UK Treasury has partnered with the Bank of England in a consultancy on implementing digital currency in the UK. What's interesting is the country that's sort of gone a bit further with this initially is China, and their version of digital currency. The one that we're looking at is Central Bank Digital Currency, or CBDC, and their acronym is Digital Currency Electronic Payment, or DCEP, and they also refer to it as Digital Renminbi, or the Digital Yuan. And they have granular control over some of the country's spending at the moment, because quite a few Chinese don't even have a bank account, so it's sort of being implemented sort of Shanghai, Beijing, you know, the places that are sort of a bit more linked into the system.
Well, I think, and also I think earlier on this year, the EU started looking at cryptocurrency. And I think, I mean, the moment that bricks and mortar banks and proper banks start getting involved, then, I mean, as it stands at the moment, cryptocurrency is basically quite a license to launder criminal money. And I think that's why it's the only place where you can move millions from, you know, South American drug lords to somewhere else quite easily.
However, pallets of cash have probably been implicated in, what, a million times the level of Bitcoin? So You know, and also, you know, there's been plenty of online digital things going on with people losing hundreds of millions of pounds in the blink of an eye. They don't even need to drill under the bank and steal the gold or the cash. Now, the other thing is with this, when you link it to a social credit scoring system, you end up with absolute control of the population. Now, an example of this, I spoke to you a few weeks ago about the new ARUP report called C40 Cities, the Future of Urban Consumption.
Right.
And it states in its recommendations that all people should be restricted to one short-haul flight per 3 years. So what better way would you have of implementing something like this if you could control how the public spend their money? Or perhaps, you know, if you're in Westmoreland Road and they want you, say, locked down in a pandemic and your currency only works within 15 minutes of Westmoreland Road.
So, but, I mean, can you imagine from that Arab report any sane and sensible government in Western Europe, particularly Northern Europe, trying to implement that? If Northern Europeans couldn't go to the Mediterranean at least once a year, there'd be riots.
Well, yeah, and you have to wonder if they've planned for that. I mean, you know, who knows if there's a whole bunch of people, you know, living in our midst that might be, you know, requisitioned to keep the locals from rioting. You never know, do you? And this may be a reason why the banks are sort of collapsing and bank branches, we've noticed, are closing down everywhere. And if you remember back in 2020, cash was initially thought to spread COVID via fomites on the surface, which was disproved, of course. But it's funny that newspapers were still allowed. Nobody ever worried about newspapers, despite the fact that they were trying to shut down cash in the idea that you could catch COVID off it.
But I mean, the move to get rid of cash, I think, is purely driven by convenience and cost by the banks, because it costs money to count cash and it costs money to issue cash. You're open to fraud and forgery. So they're taking that line of least resistance, surely. It's not a matter of civil liberties, do you think?
Well, who's controlling the keys then? I mean, for example, Dewan mentioned some time ago about the Canadian truckers. And when Justin Trudeau was having problems trying to stop them protesting, he went after their bank accounts, shut them down, and anyone who supported them, including GoFundMes and things.
No, I do remember that.
You know, okay, you've got this idea that it's more convenient, but then they're going to granularly control, let's say, for example, your carbon. You know, there are certain, even in Australia, I think there's a credit card now that gives on your monthly bill how many carbon units you've used up, you know, if you happen to have travelled. How hard would it be to link that to the fact, oh, I'm terribly sorry, but you've had your short-haul flight to Barcelona. Unfortunately, you can't have another one for 3 years.
So, are you firmly convinced this is the thin end of the wedge?
You just have to look at the white papers, you know, the actual framework things that have been coming out of the World Economic Forum. Then you have to look, say, at they're fully aligned, say, with BlackRock and Vanguard. And then you look at the ownership, you know, the sort of imagine like a flow chart of all the ownerships of BlackRock. And they've got Boeing, they've got British Airways. You know, there's massive share control over almost everything. So if you follow the rabbit down the hole, I mean, you know, perhaps some people will say I'm a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, well, perhaps they're happy to have absolute total control from a government that can't even run a swimming pool without asking for a consultancy.
OK. All right. Thanks, Julian. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, good to hear from you. Just regarding what Mick was talking about yesterday and the problems with the Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank, well, Credit Suisse was involved in this, but European markets have opened higher today after Credit Suisse got a £45 billion funding deal. So Credit Suisse was thought to be at risk of all that. So we'll wait to... Nobody from the financial regulatory... organizations over here have mentioned that anything is linked to the Isle of Man. So we'll take that as good news. Do you use TikTok? Do you watch TikTok? Do you open the TikTok videos? Well, the UK government is banning TikTok from government phones. If you work for the UK government, you won't be able to use TikTok. In fact, you'll have to delete the app from your phone. I just wonder whether that's going to be happening on the Isle of Man. Of course, TikTok looks very trivial. It looks like a lot of fun, but of course, it's Chinese owned. And it's going to be banned on phones and other devices used by government ministers and civil servants on security grounds. There's been no official comment, but the security minister in the UK has asked the National Cyber Security Centre to review the whole issue. TikTok has strongly denied allegations that it hands users data to the Chinese government. What people who want to get TikTok banned say that TikTok is Chinese state-owned and it serves really just to harvest the data of everybody who uses it. So the moment you open up a TikTok video, it will be harvesting data from your phone. You may say, well, I'm a private citizen, doesn't really matter. But you may have sensitive data on your phone. You may work for the Manx government. TikTok users, of course, just shrug their shoulders and say, there's another cat video. Bonzo's with us now. Hello, Bonzo. Do you use TikTok, Bonzo?
No. That's good. That's because, well, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm not on WhatsApp either. I'm sorry, I don't understand them. I used to, I could do a command line instruction in DOS, but...
Well, you're no use to the Chinese government then, because they can't harvest your data.
Exactly. See, I got this worked out, And coming back to Julian and the response to, was it Nick, who was asking about the financial issues yesterday. Yeah. Yes, Julian, I'm afraid you are a conspiracy theorist. I think that the idea of the World Economic Forum somehow organising things into a marvellous big plot along with the Bilderberg Group and the Skull and Bones and the Illuminati and Uncle Tom Cobley and all, and Fu Manchu probably. No, I just don't buy it, as Bishop Eddie from Father Ted would say. The real driver, I think, behind these things is, at the moment, is uncertainty. There's one thing that markets and investment hates. It's uncertainty. And everywhere you look, there is uncertainty. There's the war in Ukraine, which could spill out at any moment, which is already affecting commodity prices, because the deal for Ukrainian grain to still be allowed to ship to be shipped to Middle Eastern countries and things, that deal runs out relatively soon, and I don't think the Russians are extending it. Certainly not after, I think, about 120 days, but one of the reports is they're going to extend that after 60 days, so by May, those grain shipments will be cut off, or may possibly be cut off. Secondly, we have an extended drought in Europe. And that is, of course, going to then affect things like pasta production, olive oil production, various other fruit and veg production from Spain and Greece. So that will involve higher costs. Then you have places like China. The Chinese financial system isn't exactly that robust itself, although, of course, being a sort of command market economy, yes, it is a market economy, but the state will still run everything if it thinks that things are going a bit wrong. But its property boom, in particular, is having issues. And all it takes is a couple, two or three of those very, very large Chinese property companies to then start really slamming into the Chinese economy, and with the obvious results. But also, of course, there's the possibility of China invading Taiwan. Now, Taiwan, of course, produces... is one of the sort of few great big producers of chips, and in particular the chips used in AI technology. I think they are the only people who manufacture them. So any risk to that source of global microprocessors is going to be another problem. So you look at that, and then you look still at the inflation and the banking system, which, well, yes, the reason it's still here is because we've magicked up trillions and trillions of pounds in something called quantitative easing, whereby that enabled the banks to restock their books, as it were, so that they would fulfill capital adequacy conditions, so that they would pass stress tests, so that if anything sort of went, you know, absolutely bottoms up with the economy, that then they'd still be able to operate.
But you would have thought, Bonzo, talking about uncertainty, I mean, the 9/11 attacks were in 2001, the banking crisis was in 2008, there have been multiple conflicts all over the world, we've still got uncertainty all over Africa. You would have thought that the powers that be got used to uncertainty by now.
Well, the powers that be might have got used to uncertainty, but the markets haven't. Markets respond as they will. They're not easily controlled. And the global financial market is a perfect example of that. The only reason, one of the things that absolutely stopped a complete meltdown of the American financial system in 1929, of course, was when J.P. Morgan crossed the road to another bank and deposited $1 million. But it took that kind of action, and indeed, as the Swiss had seen, the kind of action of putting up a loan facility for Credit Suisse of, I think, something like 37, 38 billion pounds, which by anyone's definition is not a small sum. You know, that shows the severity of things. And although, yes, I think things go to settle down, and everyone is obviously aware of the damage that happened in 2008, and everyone is, you know, working very hard to avoid that. You know, it's events, I'm afraid, they're not events.
So can you, can you guarantee them, for everybody who thinks that they are, that Bill Gates and George Soros aren't going to take over the world?
No, there's better things to do.
All right. Appreciate that, Bonzo. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers,
we can all rest easy in our beds now. Following my text on Monday, it says B on 235 regarding the cancellation of the Loganair 7 o'clock Liverpool flight used by many residents attending hospital appointments or ongoing prescribed treatments, which are no longer available on the Isle of Man due to our declining health system. I should have treatments every 4 weeks. I receive my rearranged appointment, which is in 6 weeks. It puts the treatment plan in jeopardy, which may have to be restarted from scratch after completing 6 months, and that's not to mention the health implications. I'm one of many in this position. Manx Care's throwing millions of pounds at anything and everything, hoping against hope it's going to be okay in the end. Well, I'm sure they'd disagree, but anyway, that's your point, 235. Meanwhile, real people are paying the price, but that's not mentioned. It's not a good soundbite. While my life, my condition isn't life-threatening, it is life-altering, and says B, we do deserve better. I'm sorry, but this is the state of affairs. Thanks for that, B. We appreciate your opinion today. What's the latest, says Jules, regarding the vehicle license rise that has not been voted on yet? It's gone very quiet. Are they just trying to sneak it in under the radar? What's happening over the vehicle license rise? And Gaz says, Andy, in 2018, June 2018, Greta Thunberg said humanity will be extinct within 5 years if we continue to use fossil fuels. We've got 3 months left for the government to save us all. Well, what about the story about a possibility that the government may relinquish responsibility, the DOI may relinquish responsibility for Ronald's Way Airport and hand it over to a statutory board or limited company. Simon Richardson has been looking at it.
The document to be moved by Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas is split into three sections. The first two cover the current operational model at the airport and look at organisational structure, regulation, services and stakeholders before highlighting the challenges that need to be addressed and how an alternative strategy may be appropriate. Section 3 sets the scene for a future master plan to reflect the overall vision through policy and planning objectives. These, the report outlines, might involve air traffic control and security provision, terminal redevelopment and a fresh strategic approach in terms of assets, general aviation and contingency planning. In his foreword to the report, Minister Thomas says it's essential that the airport operates in a way that allows it to reach its potential and enhance its provision of air services to meet the island's needs. It's also hoped an alternative operating model might result in less public subvention. Don't expect rapid change, though. The recommendation is for incremental change and a step transition process to operating the airport at arm's length.
I just wonder what you think about that. Would that be just kicking the can down the road, or is it a viable alternative? A statutory board or a limited company instead of DOI operating the airport?
Can you have the wind in your hair and the world at your feet? Banking's a breeze with HSBC. Wherever your next adventure takes you, we'll be there. Because global reach starts with local insight. Ask in branch or search HSBC online. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity.
Isle of Man HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Visit the HSBC website for terms and eligibility requirements.
Are you concerned about your eye health? Holmes and Davidson Opticians in Douglas are proud to offer the Eidon Ultra Wide Field Retinal Imaging and Heidelberg 4D OCT systems. State-of-the-art machines that allow early detection and management of eye diseases. Don't wait. Book your appointment today and ensure the health of your eyes with the best technology available. Call 676 230 or visit holmesanddavidsonopticians.co.uk now.
Ladies, gentlemen and children, Stage Ed are back with the West End Easter School, 17th to the 22nd of April at Ballacameen High School Studio Theatre. Get a taste of the limelight working with West End musical theatre professionals in a fun-filled week, working on shows such as Back to the Future, Matilda, Harry Potter and much, much more. Perform in the end-of-week showcase. Courses for 6 to 10 and 11 to 18. Booking now at stage-ed.com. The West End Easter School, 17th to the 22nd of April. Supported by Tower Insurance and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Shh! Mum's the word. And this weekend, we've teamed up with the cast and crew from the Manx Operatic Society show, Annie Get Your Gun, to give you a chance to win two tickets for you and your mum to see the show next week. All you need to do is play along with Mum's the Word on our Facebook page and identify our mum movies. Text your answer, starting your message with Mum to 166177. Don't forget to include your name. Mum's the Word this Mother's Day with the Manx Operatic Society and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Alex, your tea's ready.
Thanks, Mum.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Maya, good afternoon. Crystal dropped me a note. Hi, Crystal. Good to hear from you. The DOI is felling healthy trees all over the Isle of Man. Most of them just need topping and work on the ivy. I saw hundreds of them being stacked up at Balaff. Huge trunks. Great for building. It's happening in the UK. Trees interfere with 5G. Is that right? That's not a conspiracy theory, is it, Crystal? It's disgraceful and unlawful. Well, they are doing a load around Glen Helen, aren't they? But it would be useful if you got any photos, Crystal, just to forward those to us and tell us what's happening. I got a note in from Carly who just said, one thing I've always wondered, why isn't the Isle of Man part of Eurovision? Obviously, the Eurovision Song Contest is across the water in Liverpool shortly. Is this something the Isle of Man government could consider to join to promote Manx artists and Manx culture? Well, two things, really. There's the Eurovision Song Contest, which is Eurovision station is something run by the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union, based in Switzerland. And I'm sure that the Isle of Man is signed up to the EBU, because it was the EBU, I think, that allotted the frequency. Do you remember that abortive long-wave radio station that was going to be over here, that was going to be floating out at Bahama Bank or somewhere? They were trying to take on Bride Council, didn't they? Trying to take on Bride Commissioners to put a high-powered radio station in Lamb Hill. And surprisingly, didn't get planning permission. But yeah, so I'm sure we're signed up to that, because that frequency will have been allotted by the EBU. But in terms of Eurovision, and there was mention of this made a wee while back when there was a Luxembourg company that had the satellite dishes on by Carnane. For the Isle of Man to pitch for the Eurovision Song Contest, the only problem is, if you win the Eurovision Song Contest, you have to stage it. And that's part of the problem. It costs an absolute fortune to stage the Eurovision Song Contest, and you have to have very big venues. Bluntly, we haven't got any big venues. Short of putting a tent over Glenlock Campsite or Nobles Park, we really couldn't, we just couldn't stage the Eurovision Song Competition. So maybe we just get Sam Barks to represent the UK, and she could wear a Manx dress when she did it. The pavements in Willesden, thank you, Carly, good to hear from you. Patrick says, Andy, the pavements in Willesden are lethal. People, especially the elderly, must be trapped in their living quarters. The council's done nothing. Last time, there were broken arms. So there may be this time too. Douglas Council are useless when it comes to caring for this, says Patrick. Well, maybe time to invite some. I think the last time we've had Douglas councillors, it was Devon Watson. Andrew Bentley's been up as well talking about it. But sadly, we can't get the leader of Douglas Council to come on Man in Line. I hope today, I've not heard, but today there's supposed to be that Douglas Head Buddies meeting at 3:30 this afternoon. Laura Mowat is appealing for residents around Douglas Head, especially families, to join the first event. Starts at 3:30. It's only on for an hour, and they're cleaning up Douglas Head. If you want to pitch up and join Laura and the entire team. And I've got lots of messages in. I'll do this very briefly, because if you want to go to manxradio.com, it's all set out. But I got a note in from Sammy, who just says, what on earth is going on at Victoria Street? Why are they closing it? They're closing Victoria Street to reconstruct a small section of road either side of this brand new pedestrian crossing they've been putting in for a couple of months. So there's going to be no through traffic down Victoria Street for 2 weeks from this Sunday. It should finish no later than Sunday, the 2nd of April, so 2 weeks or so. So no traffic down. Really, the work on the new raised crossing point at the junction of Dew Street is done. So the road service is going to be renewed. So no through traffic down Victoria Street for 2 weeks from this Sunday. All vehicle traffic coming down Prospect Hill, including buses, will go along Athol Street. Traffic using Ridgeway Street will only be able to turn left and zip up Prospect Hill. You won't be able to turn right, go down Victoria Street. Traffic from Thomas Street, which is the kind of Market Street, Drumgold, Marks and Spencer car park end, will be diverted sharp right up Prospect Hill, and there'll be no access to Victoria Street from Thomas Street. The fun goes on.
The current team at Port St Mary Golf Pavilion will be leaving on Sunday, the 26th of March. We'd like to thank everyone for their custom over the past 5.5 years, and we hope you can pop in to visit us before we go, either for a tea or coffee and cake, or one of our delicious meals. Also, please can you use any gift vouchers before the 26th of March? The Pavilion team will miss all of our customers, but we're looking forward to starting the next chapter of our story and hope to see you all soon.
Discover Bathline, the new name in bathrooms at Haldane Fisher. Visit their brand new bathroom and tile showroom in Douglas for a stunning range of bathroom styles and designs. Or get inspired online at bathline-bathrooms.im. Whether traditional or contemporary, Bathline's dedicated in-house bathroom designers will bring your dream bathroom to life. Bathline at Haldane Fisher. Designed for living.
I had amazing service from the Guernsey Bank Skipton International this week. It's not often you get to speak to a real human. Their follow-up was fantastic, and switching my savings account was so easy and quick.
Is that why you chose Skipton?
No, I saw how competitive their savings rates are, so I gave them a call on 01481 730 730. Turns out it was easier than I thought to move my account to Skipton.
Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the Guernsey Financial Services Commission and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. Details at dcs.gg. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a tough time for businesses. Not sure what to do to turn things around? Let Nicola Bowker & Co. guide you through. We've helped hundreds of businesses to success. Accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
A rejuvenated FC Isle of Man are back on Manx shores once again this weekend, and they'll be able to continue their recent good run under the floodlights in Douglas. The Ravens welcome Longridge Town to the bowl in the NWCFL Premier Division this Saturday, with both teams vying for vital results to secure their safety. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Longridge Town, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Selton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1 today. Tons of emails and texts in as well. Helen said, much has been discussed regarding the Hartford Homes large development in the north, but the proposed scheme at Bratton's gone very quiet. In my view, it was a daft place to think about putting 300 houses plus a new school and a medical centre. Have you heard what's happening? Says Helen. Well, I think the plan is still alive, although I think it's been throttled back a little bit. However, Helen, it has to be said that's part of the Eastern Plan. That area is zoned for residential development. They're not just, half of them just had invented it. They're pitching for something that's in the Eastern Plan. And remember, it's the stated wish of our government to put another 15,000 souls on the Isle of Man, and they've got to live somewhere. So we'll see what happens. And regarding the proposed estate at the Vollen, north of Ramsey, I think that's going to be planning, isn't it, in a couple of weeks' time. The pavements in Williston, I'm not the only one complaining. For our MHK representation, we may as well talk to the wall, says Carly. They just lead us up the path, but not the one in our crescent, because it's still closed, says Charlie. What is the situation, Charlie, in Williston? Tell us all about it. So what's going to happen then, says Phil. I think houses will be built anywhere that Mr. Cannon wants. Oh, not another conspiracy theory. Oh, crikey. Wind farms will be built wherever Mr. Cannon wants, and Kroger will get the gas go-ahead. Well, what's your opinion, Phil? Do you think we need more houses on the Isle of Man? Because if we're going to have 15,000 more people, the poor souls have got to live somewhere. We can't just reinvent Cunningham's camp and put tents up. People have got to live somewhere. And if people have got to live somewhere, houses have got to be built. So where should they go, Phil? Wind farms? Well, we don't have sight nor sound of an onshore wind farm anywhere on the Isle of Man. Nobody's even proposed it. Nobody's even said where it's going to be. So do we have an offshore one? Do we have an onshore one? And Kroger will get the gas go-ahead. Do you think, I mean, the point is, Phil, do you think it's a good idea? You've told us what you think of Mr. Cannon, but then again, Mr. Cannon is the elected Chief Minister of the Isle of Man. Surprise, surprise, the Chief Minister doing what the Chief Minister does. Starting initiatives. Well, so, I mean, really, it's your opinion that matters, Phil. What's your opinion on this? This is regarding chips and darts, says Jeff. Real money spent in real shops, just my thoughts. I've just been away to watch the darts at the Echo Arena, and you couldn't pay for beer or food with cash. And to make matters worse, even Chip Van outside wouldn't take cash. Call me a dinosaur from the 70s, but I don't bank online. I don't shop online unless it's my only option. But I listen bemused to action groups trying to stop the closure of rural banks and post offices. Then people losing jobs because high street shops are closing. Then add the increasing number of people in debt due to out-of-control plastic spending. Why don't we just use cash, save jobs, and take control of our finances again, says Jeff this morning. Charlie's with us. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Andy. I'm glad you'd invited me on to have a talk to you today about Willesden. I told David Ashford exactly a year ago about the top of our road here, Willesden Crescent, where on the corner there's actually 40 pavement slabs, all smashed up. They're not pavement slabs anymore, it's crazy pavement. I'll sort that out, he said. A year and a half ago, I said to him, you want your vote? Well, I want that lane opened up in Willesden Crescent. Well, he rung me up last April and he said, oh, the DOI's taking Douglas Corporation to court. Well, I've never heard nothing about that either.
And the paving slabs are still smashed?
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean, say, what these MHCs don't realise, when you tell them these things, it's the damage that's underneath the ground that they don't see. When your pavement slabs are smashed down like 2-3 inches, that's putting pressure on electric cables, telephone cables, water cables, water pipes, gas pipes. Any of them fractures, any person walking on that pavement, especially a water one, it'll send them off their feet.
Have you seen any commissioners, any councillors at all there lately?
Hey, I'll tell you what. The last time I seen the council was 2 years ago when he come here and asked for me vote, and I've never heard or seen him ever since. And he told me he was a unionist and he was going to do everything to Willesden. Well, I tell you what, his silence is there. It's golden. We don't even hear from him or anybody.
How much work would it take to fix it?
Andy, 40 slabs in one row. I mean, you say, you can't walk past it without seeing it. This has been here now for about 6 years. You know, we've got the workers up here, and when they've been building these houses, they've been putting the big high-abs up there, when they've been lifting the box up on the scaffolding, been going on the pavements, smashed all the roads, all the pavements. Have they come down and fixed them? No, they haven't. They just drive on and just carry on through do the work. The site's a disgrace. The roads are a disgrace. The payments are a disgrace. And as for the lane, I'm going to come back to you on the lane. When you walk through this lane here, and you get over to Johnny Watson's Lane, it's where you catch the bus to Noble's Hospital. Now, up in this Millicent's Crescent, round, say, bottom of Timber Road, they have to walk up here to get that bus. And now they've got to go all the way around Barrow Road now, whereas it takes a minute to walk through that lane where the bus stop is. It just doesn't make sense. At the end of that road, there's two houses. One's been lying empty for 7 years, and the other's been lying there for 4 years. So what's the council doing about them houses? Nothing.
Well, I'm sure they're listening to you. I'm sure they're listening to you.
I'll tell you what they're doing, Andy. They're listening and they're laughing. And you know what they're saying? Yeah, you're a joke, Mr. Herbert. I am a joke. But I'm one of these people. When I get it off my chest, I will tell you. It's not right.
All right, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling us today.
Andy, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All the best to you. Thanks. Phil's with us now. Hi, Phil. What have you got against South Cannon?
No. Don't get me wrong. I think that what he wants to do is he wants to change all the planning rules so things can be pushed through as quickly as possible. Now, whether that's a good thing or whether a bad thing is not really the point of my email. You missed the important part of the email, which was right at the end. What I was saying, that if he gets his planning permission through for the... He's talking about 3 years for the wind farms and all that. You're not going to do that unless you change the planning rules that say nobody can object, we're just going to put them where we want them. Because the planning will go on for years if he doesn't change the planning rules. So what I'm saying is, given that he's going to change the planning rules, whether we like it or not, Kroger will come on board. Now, this week I heard them say that there's going to be billions and billions of pounds for the Manx government coming through from Kroger if it goes ahead. Brilliant for the island. What I'm saying is, we have got an electric bill height rise in 4 weeks' time. If they're going to get billions and billions of pounds in 2 or 3 years, 4 years, whatever, then why can't they defer the money that Manx Utility needs, and when that comes online, they can take the money that they're losing at the moment off Manx Utilities. We pay Manx Utilities $30 million a year. In 10 years, 5 years, when they get that gas money coming in, Manx Utilities have to pay it back.
I was always wondering, I'm glad you mentioned about the planning, because the number of people who would object to having a wind turbine near them, I mean, as you say, it will be mired in planning for years.
So that is Mr. Cannon's whole plan. He wants to change the planning laws so we can't stop things going ahead. Now, whether you agree about the gas or not, if he's going to bring billions of pounds in, and people's in electric rates are going to go up in the next few weeks, stop that. You're going to get billions in. If you push through that, Kroger, you're going to get billions of pounds in, according to their figures.
Yeah.
So why should we suffer? Why should businesses be going out of business now, when in a few years' time we might be getting billions of pounds in?
Well, you're quite right, because lots of businesses are very quietly looking at the 40% increase in electricity and turning white.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. But if we've got that on the horizon, and this is all based on the fact that I think Mr. Cannon is just going to ride roughshod, push it all through, and we're not going to have any say about the planning for the houses, the new houses and all that. But if they're going to make that money, why are we suffering now? If he's going to push it through, why do we have to go out? People have to go out of business? Why do people have to go to food banks? You know, if that's his long-term plan, subsidise the Manx Utility now for the next 5 years until it's online, and then Manx Utility can, when they get their money in, then they can start paying it back, can't they?
All right, good point. Thanks for calling today, Phil. I appreciate it.
Cheers, Dan. Bye now.
All right. Good to hear from you. And talking of... I mean, I don't want to just... It's not your problem, but I'll tell you about it anyway. The cost of electricity is going up 40-odd percent. Manx Radio runs four big radio transmitters. One of them is 30-odd thousand watts, 30-odd kilowatts in Foxdale. Can you imagine how much that electricity bill's going up? The weeping you can hear is the sound of senior management, I'll say. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Hey, what's the difference between a conspiracy and the truth, Andy?
I don't know. Go on.
About 3 months at the moment. You know, we missed out on a thing last week. There was a Manxman, someone associated with the Isle of Man who's an astronaut. Did you see that one in the paper?
Yes, I did.
I know a few people who could be shot into space. That would help their cause. I'm always good at trying to help causes and stuff.
I know a few space cadets.
Sorry?
I know a few space cadets.
I know a few space cadets as well, yes. Yeah, probably the same ones, actually. I see the Manxman might be delayed as well. I think they're going to spend an extra £1 million to change the nameplate. It's going to be the Manx Day Them.
Well, we don't know. The thing is, we keep on asking the steam packet when the Manxman's going to be ready. We keep on asking when the Liverpool ferry terminal's going to be ready, and we don't quite know at the moment yet.
Yeah, they can't have the Manxmen anymore. They've got to change the name on that. It's got to be the Manx Day them. So the ratepayers will have to pay up the bill for that, won't they? You know, I'm probably going to run out of time, but there's some things I was picking up on there and what Julian and Bonzo are saying, but I'll probably pick up another day on most of it. I mean, if Bonzo thinks that the market can't be manipulated, then I think that's a little bit wrong. I mean, when we look at, World War II was sponsored by the banks and it was the same people that sponsored both sides of it to create it. And we're in a proxy war again now where, the states are trying to cover themselves and all the debt that they're in. And the obvious answer to that is, get a scapegoat for it and create a war. So, can the market be manipulated? Yeah, very, very much so.
All right. We've got to go, Juan. Thanks for calling today.
We'll pick up on the rest tomorrow, Andy. See
all right.
Later.
All the best. Thanks for that. Today's conspiracy theory is... who's going to pay for the electricity? Well, good point from Phil, don't you think? If all the money's coming in from Kroger, can't we kind of borrow against that in the meantime and have cheap electricity? If you have cheap electricity, people will be fighting to get to the Isle of Man. And then they'll have to live somewhere. Good to hear from you today. So tomorrow, it's Justice and Home Affairs, Jane Paul Wilson and Dan Davis. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Thanks for getting in touch. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your misty, foggy Thursday. WINT.